Hello, everybody. This is Boston, Massachusetts, once again to bring you the conspiracies in which I have came here to tell you. With me is Austin, Texas. Why don't you give him a shout-out, Austin?
Don't mind if I do. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Tell me about yourself.
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time for them to talk about themselves, so let's just get back to the topic at hand. Today, we are going to discuss three conspiracies. Yes. One, because a very, very important topic has just been brought to my attention. And my original plan. So, I will be discussing the first topic. The second topic will be discussed by Austin, Texas. And we will both team up on the third one. So, the first one. The pain through waffles. What happens to waffles before you eat them? Alright. So, people, waffles, you think they're delicious, especially with maybe some syrup, some butter, you know, whatever works for you. But do you know what how much pain the ingredients of waffles has to go through? I may not know the ingredients that, you know, gives its waffles its texture and taste. But let's say it is 100% wheat. Now, this wheat is harvested in a very painful way, going through a tractor. This tractor shoots it up into a little bucket, most of the time, or puts it in a bay. Now, what this does is it groups them all together, chopped up, harvested technically. Then, it's put into a grinder and a bather. So this grinder and bather, they team up. They bathe it, and they grind these down to powder. Then, since that powder isn't technically fine enough, they crush it. They crush it and smash it. They unload on that thing. Like, it used to be a beautiful plant. Just beautiful. You could take pictures with yourself right next to it. You could pet it. It's a main attraction in Nebraska. Now, I believe we should truly give wheat the same respect we give people. I am a part of PETPA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Plants. PETPA. I know that some of you may have not heard of this. This is because we're not as publicic as PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Now, I'm all for PETA, but I'm almost completely 100% for PETPA. Now, PETPA's goal is to really save plants. I mean, if you notice any of the plants' situations, they're horrible. They are chopped up like tomatoes. They're smashed and squeezed like lemons. They're constantly being put through so much torture just to give us humans some deliciousness in our snacks. Some of you may be laughing. Some of you may not even be touched by how innocent these plants are and how brutally we murder them. They may be live tissue when we eat them, but think about it. Think about it. Would you want to be chopped up, squeezed to make a sour juice? Chopped up, mashed, squashed, chopped, diced, blended? I don't think so. So when you bite into that waffle, just imagine how much pain you have to go through if you were that wheat. If you were that cornstarch. If you were whatever they put in there. When you scoop it, put it in that bowl and are ready to mix it. Look at it. Do you think that that's its beauty and grace? No. It's a disgrace. I mean, you took a beautiful plant and just destroyed it. Now, the only difference is people treated it like their roses, they would be, you know, cuffed immediately because everybody likes roses or lilies or, you know, stuff like that. But once it's wheat, that's a different story. Some of you may think that I'm comparing this to PETA. No. No. I am far more extending this. It's not because PETA says, oh, it's like if you did that to a dog, you'd be immediately arrested. No. I'm saying that it is alright. I mean, if you go in your neighbor's garden and smash all that, they're going to be angry. But why? Why? They're going to do that anyway. They're going to chop it, smash it, eat it, devour it, pass it through their intestinal tract, and excrete it. Or urinate. I'm sorry for my violent language just right there. But it's true. You need to realize how much pain and suffering all these fruits have to go through just so that you can eat. And when you look at that wheat, question yourself. Do you want to eat that anymore? Are you so sure that that is what you want to do? You want to eat what was once a poor, beautiful plant and change it into a powder that has been grinded and chopped and smashed and processed through many, many machines. It's disgusting. It's delicious afterwards, but it's disgusting. The process. And if you think about that process, you'll probably be so bored that you grab Doritos, which is another thing that I should talk about. Doritos. The cheese. The cheese! Imagine through all the pain that cheese has to go through. I just can't. I did my best. Alright. Live strong. Make sure you check your waffle mix before you eat it. Make sure that doesn't have wheat. If it does, please get the PETA brand of waffles mix. It's 2 times as delicious, and 5 times as healthy, and 10 times not guilty. Now, it's Austin's conspiracy. Austin, would you like to tell them what your conspiracy is about?
I dragged on and on and on. But don't worry, Austin Dices is here to save the day. My conspiracy, my simply awesome conspiracy, is about the expression, the coolest thing since sliced bread. Now, of course people are saying, coolest thing since sliced bread. Because sliced bread is cool. I mean, imagine it. What would bread be like if you had to slice it by yourself? It'd be horrible. It'd be so uneven that you wouldn't want to eat a sandwich anymore. And some people are so lazy, they wouldn't even eat the sandwich because it'd be so much work trying to cut the thing, trying to cut it evenly, that they just give up. So that's why we allow a machine and other skilled people to do it for us, because that's how lazy we have gotten. And as much as I like to say that we're all innocent, we're not. We're not. I wouldn't eat sliced bread if it wasn't sliced. I wouldn't eat toast in the morning if bread wasn't sliced. There's no way. Because that's how messed up the minds of people who eat bread are. If it is not sliced properly, if it is not sliced at all, you will not eat it. That's why some people have really bad habits when it comes to French bread, because they're just so angry that it's not evenly sliced. It's sliced in the same kind of way every time. But the corners, which is a downside about all bread, because the corners are gross. Face it, you're getting way too much crust on that slice of bread. And if you're like me, you enjoy crust, but there is boundaries. Now, I believe that mayonnaise is discovered on this sandwich, unless you're an all-mayo guy. Recently, I've kicked my mayo addiction. There is a bit of mayo in every sandwich that is eaten by me. Almost every sandwich that is eaten by me that is not prepared by myself. But I'm okay with that. It's my ignorance. I don't know that it has mayonnaise. I don't think about it having mayonnaise in it. It's beneficial. It's like being an alcoholic, except you're not drinking, and you're not being hurt internally by mayonnaise, unless you look at the bigger picture. Now, I don't know where I got on about mayonnaise. This isn't the first episode. Now, to be honest, bread. Why was it sliced? Why? Because one day, a man named Breddington Slicelonic, with a K at the end, not a Z, but a K. But he was tired of his day-to-day life having to slice his bread. So what he'd do is he'd get his kids to pull on a rug while he would saw the bread. And he timed it just right so all of them are even. So he was like, bam, 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 bam. Until one day, he threw out his shoulder. He swung way too hard, and his shoulder was popped out of place. And back then, they didn't have the proper tools to help him. This caused much, much dispute. He sued the saw company because of this, and won a machine. They saw a machine that would work exactly like the slicer that he had, except it would do the work for him. It sliced perfect. No kids pulling rugs. No man throwing their arm out, cutting the bread. And it is this way that he had some friends over, and he was like, whoa, this bread is so evenly sliced. I'm going to eat more sandwiches. And this caused sliced bread to revolutionize. You see, the big picture was that everybody was so into sliced bread that once you have it, you can't resist it. You can't. There's no way. Think about it. Would you be able to resist a slice of sliced bread? But what if it wasn't sliced? What if you had just had a big loaf that looked like that thing in the toilet you saw last week? Would you eat that? Would you? So you're saying you can look me in the eyes right now and say you're going to eat that unsliced piece of bread compared to that perfectly even sliced piece of bread. Now, I know that some people may think, oh, the butts of the bread or the ends of the bread, they're not evenly sliced like the rest. No. You know why? Because right when you buy the thing, like right when you get outside the store, you're supposed to open the bread package up, take those two ends, throw them away. Some people may say, oh, that's a waste of bread. You're ruining food for all the hungry people. No, I'm giving them food. I'm throwing it into the trash. Have you ever seen movies? They get it out of the trash. Why not give them more? Ugh, people are lazy. Now, some would also agree. Because when you think about it, what would bread be if you had to slice it by yourself? be some menial task that you had to perform every time you had bread. And then sometimes you might get yelled at because you had a slice that was as big as two slices that you should have cut. This can get you in some major trouble. I hate it. My bread was... one slice was as tall as my thumb. And I had two slices, which took up a whole loaf. Part. Like a quarter of a loaf. And this drove people very angry. You're taking all the bread, Austin. You're taking all the bread. But when you think about it, would they be saying that for a sliced bread? Or it's sliced in a way that I could have one whole sandwich. It'd be even throughout the whole other people that want a sandwich. No 10-to-1 bread ratio. No. I see it as a cheese to cracker. Or a chip to dip ratio. You put cheese on the cracker. You have to have the right amount of chip. Anyway, you have to have the right amount of cracker with the right amount of cheese. Then it's just, delicious. With chip, you have to have the right amount of dip and the right amount of chip. If you have a microscopic chip that you can barely hold without crushing it in your hand, and you dip it in a huge bowl, bigger than the bowl you hold your cereal in, is that the proper chip to dip ratio? No. Because then you get some on your thumb, and you have to lick your thumb, and then you just look like a slob. You want a big chip. A chip that you have to hold with three fingers. You take it. You dip it. You eat it. No. I believe I have proved my point. Sliced bread. Ratio. 1-to-1. Not 10-to-1. Like chip and dip. And cheese and cracker. Also. Quality. Awesome. Lazy. It's lazy accessible. It's genius. Created by a man during Civil War times. Yes. Perfect. Natural. Awesome. Let's move on to the next conspiracy. But first, an intermission. Are you ready to play the intermission?
Bring it, son.
Ultimate Get Jiggy With It song. Yeah. I believe I found myself a new hit song.
Yes. Now, let's move along to what this episode was really about the whole time. Would you like to start it out, Austin?
As a matter of fact, I would, Boston. All right. So the gist of the conspiracy. Urine. Most of us see it as a disgusting thing. Some of us think it's sterile and like the taste. I am personally disgusted by it. But enough about my personal opinion. Let's get jiggy with it. Now, whether you're evolutionist Christianity, ist, you know, whatever. You must believe that the Earth has been around for approximately 7,000 years at least. You know, possibly billions. But let's think about the broad picture. The broad picture of it is, we've had animals and humans on this planet for a long time. And what do when we drink water? We urinate. Where does all that urine go? Into the ground. Or into the ocean. And you know, fish and animal life inside the ocean, they urinate too. And all the animals on land constantly urinate. Now, this urine is a lot. It's a lot of urine. It could be why the water is kind of overloading in salt, because one time there was an animal who peed in there a lot. Now, Boston, we'll get into the greater details.
Yes. So, basically, everything is urinated on or in this planet. Now, what we do is we pee, and, you know, it goes into a toilet, most likely. You flush it, it goes into your sewage treatment plant, and they possibly dump it in some lakes, oceans, whatever. And that is evaporated. I'm not saying that the bacteria from the urine is in effect when it's being, you know, vaporized and when it rains down. But it is always going to be contaminated. The water that is presently here in the earth is most likely contaminated by urine. Our fossils could have small hints of urine in them. Our fuel probably has small bits of urine in it because of fossil fuel. Our deep underground water sources could have urine in them. Our water supplies could have hints of urine in them. Not enough to be taste or harmful. But just think about it. Maybe if you don't live in a city that completely purifies its water as well as mine, most likely you might be drinking urine. And does that taste good? I don't know. You tell me. Is it sterile? Do you like the taste of urinated water? I think not. Now let's get in a more distant, less distant area with Austin, Texas.
Alright. So, now we get into the greatest picture. Let's see. Is there such a thing as pure water? Maybe not contaminated by urine, but pure water? I think not. I mean, when it's at its kind of pure level, but it's not water, is when it's being vaporized. It's kind of pure, not really. That's when you would think it's kind of at its purest point. Some people may argue, oh, when it's actually raining, that's the purest point. No, if you touch a raindrop, you've just contaminated it with the bacteria on your hand. And when it actually comes down, it's contaminated by dust particles, airborne bacteria, things like that. There's no way that it can dodge being contaminated. If it goes into the river or stream, it's being contaminated. Springs. Some people say that that's probably pure water. No. Urine it, for one. And two, animals and stuff may have been, you know, excreting waste in there. Which is disgusting, by the way. I don't recommend it. Ugh, they kick you out so fast. Now, I wanted to, now for the main point. The absolute point of this conspiracy will be brought by Austin. Texas, right here. The main point is that we all are American. And we want to go as far down as to drink urinated water? And let's say you're not American. Do you still want to drink urinated water? Now, some of you may own those little purifiers. But what about the minerals? Some, not where I live, but some people have fluoride in their waters. Some people have other nastiness in their waters. You know, it may be good for dental stuff, but what about those who are allergic to it? Can you leave them out of the equation? No. Now, when it goes through the pipes, it might get some minerals, nothing that's harmful but minerals, so it's being contaminated. So when you think about it, there is no pure water. Most of it is being affected by urine. Not all, but most. Although water in the ocean may be contaminated by urine. Do you know? Probably not. Do I know? Most likely. It has been proven to me. Kind of. Mostly. It's been mostly proven. Mostly. There are some areas where I could be put in a draw, but when I'm saying that some of it is contaminated by urine, but all water is contaminated in one way or another, I'm right. I am right. And it doesn't mean that it's harmful. It doesn't mean don't drink water, because, you know, water is an essential thing to life. If you really are that stupid, maybe you do deserve to not drink water. But think about it. Water. Urine. Water. Water comes from urine. And urine comes from water. It's a cycle, you see, urine and water. I'll let Boston wrap
okay.
up this conspiracy.
Now, for the wrap up. So, by now you have made up your mind. Are they serious? Are they serious about us drinking urine and water? Mostly. We mostly are. I'm not going to lie, I am kind of serious. When I say water is contaminated by everything, when Austin says it, we're completely serious. Because it is. There's almost no way you can argue with that. When it's vaporized, maybe during that process, it becomes pure at one point. But when it's drinkable, when you can actually drink it, is it pure? When you boil it, is it pure? No. The pot. It's acting as a contaminant. And the particles in the air. Dust particles. When it rains down, it's being contaminated. If you touch it, like if you touch a raindrop and put it on your tongue, that doesn't mean you've drank pure water. It means that you're attempting to, but in a really stupid way. But think about it. Water is pure. Not really. That is a lie. Pure water doesn't exist. So when people try to sell you those water purifying devices, they are wrong. It cannot be pure. You're just spending more money for safe mind syndrome. Where you have peace at mind, when you're having peace in mind, thinking that your water is pure, but knowing? No, you do not know your water is pure. You've been brainwashed into thinking that it's pure. So don't buy those pure things. It's not making that much of a difference. You're just drinking minerals and pipes, which isn't really affecting anything. It's completely harmless unless you're allergic to that kind of stuff, which doesn't really happen that often unless you're allergic to that sort of stuff. Fluoride. That is a different story. I'm talking about, let's say you just have an aquifer like Spokane does. Let's say you are most likely going to be able to drink that water and be unharmed. Bacteria doesn't really get inside our aquifer. Maybe I'm wrong, but most likely I'm right. So think about it. When you drink your water and you think it's pure, you're wrong. Just keep in mind that you're wrong if you think your water is pure. Even if you have those $400,000 water purifiers, you're not drinking pure water. So stop bragging about it, that you have your little pure thing, because I don't believe that my tap water is actually cutting it. And if you are that concerned that your water supply is actually contaminated, go buy bottled water. Go drink from a water fountain. Maybe. I mean, it's still the same supply, but if it gives you peace of mind, just do it. Bottled water doesn't really even come from your water supply, most likely. In Fallout, it didn't. You drink water wherever you could find it. You even drink radioactive water, but if you drink too much, you'd grow an extra arm. It wouldn't be visible, but you grew one. It sucks. I thought I'd be able to hold 3 weapons. Anyways, the point of it is, no water is pure. Not saying that it's contaminated by urine all the time. Most of the time, it can actually be contaminated by urine. Maybe not in all places, but in most, it can be. And there is no such thing as pure water. Just you remember that. Just remember that. And you'll be fine. Don't worry. It's not harming you. What's harming you is that Twinkie you have in your left hand while you're listening to this podcast. That's hurting you. Now, I will wrap up this episode saying, this has been Boston, Massachusetts. Oh yeah, by the way, no outro. Boston, Massachusetts, and Austin, Texas, signing off.